You know, over the last few weeks, if you've kind of just joined us, we've, you know, learned about the Holy Spirit as a person, that his role in the ministry and his ministry to us and through us. And we've experienced the Holy Spirit over the Pentecost pause weekend that everyone talked about on the video. We talked about how he comes, how he speaks, how he interacts with us. We've experienced and talked about how the Spirit empowers us to turn from our sinful ways. Pastor Kyle spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, and how, we overcome our struggles as we surrender to his wisdom and to his ways. So it's been an incredible 9 weeks as we've not only learnt more about the Holy Spirit, but heard the stories of how God has been meeting with and ministering to individuals in our church. You know, besides the testimonies that we've heard on screen just then, we actually heard of some salvations, people giving over their life to Christ for the first time over the last few weeks. We've seen marriages being restored. We've seen people who have confessed their sins, have made done repentance, where the Spirit has convicted people and they've turned their lives around. We've heard how people have experienced God's overwhelming love and goodness and gaining an awareness of how the Spirit is with them every day. And of course, you know, we can't share a lot of the details of these stories, but if you haven't already noticed, God is moving, God is working, and he's active in this place, restoring, healing, convicting, encouraging, transforming, and turning lives around. But he's not done with us yet. You know, this refining work he's doing in you and me to reveal more of himself and to make us more and more like his son is a lifelong work. You know, it doesn't just stop because we've finished a sermon series at church and we've kind of stopped talking about the Holy Spirit more openly. But it doesn't stop when, you know, Pentecost pause weekend is finished. It doesn't stop because you've somehow reached a maturity where we know everything about the Holy Spirit now and everything about the Bible and everything about God. And no matter how old or mature we get, there is always more of himself that God wants to reveal to us. So if you're walking with Jesus by the power of his Spirit and you continue to have this posture of surrender that Pastor Chi was talking about last week, he will no doubt continue to speak. He will no doubt continue to keep guiding you, continue to heal, continue to reveal, continue to teach us and shape us to be more and more like his son. But what is it all for? Is it so that we can become more and more holy until we get to heaven? Well, not quite. You know, in Acts 1:8, which we've read about and have heard about over the last few months, Jesus says this: "But you will receive power." Everybody say power. Power. "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, this is the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. Like, these are his famous last words. He literally empowered. We literally empowered. Empowered by the Spirit so that we can be witnesses for him, telling people about him everywhere. The purpose of us receiving the Holy Spirit, besides feeling all those warm and fuzzy feelings and close to God and all these things that we can, first experience when we encounter God, it's also so that we can be better equipped to represent him to the world. You heard Trent say on the video before that he felt like he was given power by the Holy Spirit to and the ability to share the gospel, to tell people about God, to point out opportunities where he can care more for people, be more patient or listen more. You know, we heard Winnie say how she is now encouraged by the Spirit to be the better mother to her children. You heard Paul say how the Spirit helps him to navigate work pressures. And Carmen say how she is free from carrying burdens on her own and to work in partnership with the Spirit. While the Spirit's initial work in our lives is to clear the junk, to convict us of sin, to bring us to salvation, and yes, in different seasons, we will need to be encouraged again and affirmed again and comforted by the Spirit again. But his ongoing work is to lead us, to guide us, to help us see what God is doing in and around us, and to equip us with everything we need to join him in his mission and his purposes, to draw all peoples of the world to himself, and to bring wholeness and restoration and flourishing to creation. And he will empower us to do that. He's promised that. We'll receive power when he comes to do that. Let me talk briefly about the spiritual gifts for a moment. They don't just apply in church contexts. The power of the Spirit and his gifts were given so that you and I can be representatives to the world. You know, someone with a pastoral gift doesn't necessarily have to be a pastor. You know, a lot of people with pastoral gifts make really good counselors, team leaders, social workers, nurses. You know, one of my friend's husbands works in construction, and daily he uses his pastoral gift and he leads his team. Someone with a teaching gift does not necessarily need to be a preacher. You know, they make excellent school teachers, trainers, educators, not just for children and not just in schooling contexts either. You know, the gift of tongues was literally given so that foreigners and travelers from Turkey, Egypt, Italy, Iran, Iraq, Crete, Libya, who were all in Jerusalem at the time, could understand the people praising God at that time in their own language and then come to believe. You know, we think of tongues and we think of, oh, it's just, you know, a secret language that we pray with and, you know, we kind of keep it to ourselves because nobody understands. But no, that was a gift that was given so that glory could be given to God. In Exodus 31 in the Old Testament, we find a passage about how the Spirit equips his people for his work. And it says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He is a master at every craft. I've personally appointed Oholiab, son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skills to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all things that I have commanded you to make: the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the beautifully stitched garments, and so on and so forth. The craftsmen must make everything as I have commanded you.'" Do we have any crafty people here? I know we have a few. I can think of a few. I can think of Karen, who does amazing baking and sewing and makes all these things all the time. I think of Stephen's wife, Chris, actually, who knits and cooks and crochets and sews and bakes and arranges flowers and so much more. And especially think of Brian. I don't know if Brian's here. Brian, he is so skilled with his hands. Like, Brian is an avid gardener. He does all the maintenance in our church. He does all the painting in our church. Anything that breaks, he's like, yep, I'll fix it. And it's so easy. You see the beautiful crosses in all our meeting rooms? He made all of those. There was our couches at the foyer. The legs were broken, and he made them even more stable than they were before. And, you know, it's just amazing because sometimes we limit the gifts of the Spirit to very spiritual things like prophecy and words of knowledge and stuff like that. But the Spirit also empowers us in very practical ways. The Spirit empowers us to do things like administration, hospitality. Some people have these gifts, helps and all kinds of abilities with our crafts. Our God is a creative God. Our God is the creator God. And he filled Bezalel with the Holy Spirit, giving him great wisdom, ability, expertise in all kinds of crafts. In other versions, it says wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of skills. And all these were given for his purposes. Specifically for Bezalel, it was to bring beauty and creativity to the house of the Lord so that people could come there and worship him. And every one of you have a unique mix of giftings, of skills, of passions, and experiences that make you useful for him as well. You know, when we operate in our human side of things, that's things like what we're naturally good at, what we enjoy, what we're passionate about, what we might have experience in, or what we might be formally trained to do. We will experience happiness. You know, we will experience strength and we will experience success because that's how God made you. But when we operate in our spiritual giftings and abilities, we'll experience joy and power and fruit because it's why God made you. He has equipped and empowered you with these gifts and abilities for his purpose and his mission. The Holy Spirit empowers us to fulfill the calling and purpose that God has for our lives. He equips us with spiritual gifts and abilities to serve others and to share the gospel, to tell people all over the world about him. You know, one of the absolute highlights of being at Lausanne was the conversations I had with people over mealtimes, in the hallways, in the breaks, back in our dorm rooms. One of the previous taglines of Lausanne is to bring together and connect influences and ideas for global mission. Not like, you know, like influencers, but people who are influential in their field and in the industry because of their expertise, because of their experience, and because of the connections. In other words, people who are really, really good at what they do, really faithful in living out that calling that God has on their lives. And as I mentioned before, you know, most of these people were not church pastors. A lot of them weren't church leaders. And I want to introduce you to a few people. I want to tell you a few stories. So here, this is Daniel, my friend Daniel. He's actually Reverend Dr. Daniel. and he's from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I love this picture. This is Rick. Rick is one of the people who, one of our trainers. He was just talking to him, and I'm like, wow, that's such a beautiful photo. And so Daniel, he is currently doing the leadership journey with me. And I had the privilege of getting to know him over the 2 weeks we spent together, pushing his wheelchair and just chatting with him. But actually, we didn't talk that deeply because his first language is French and he can't really express his everything in English really well. So I think his first language is French and then his second is like Swahili. But I was just so inspired by him. I actually Googled him and I found his story online. Like, how stalker-ish is that? If the FBI ever need to find anyone on social media, I'm your girl. So Daniel has an undiagnosed disability. He never found out why his leg stopped working at the age of 12 because his family were too poor to take him to the doctors. He was terribly bullied and isolated because of his immobility. People literally went up to his window and shouted, "Daniel, Daniel, disabled, Daniel, disabled," and told his family that witchcraft was what caused his disability. At the age of 15, he was abandoned in a war zone and was beaten and humiliated by the soldiers. And one day, as he was walking on his crutch, a soldier had picked up stones and started throwing them at him until the soldier's supervisor stopped him. But you know what? Daniel didn't let that define his life or let his disability oppress him. He was born to a Christian family and he personally came to Christ after experiencing his disability during the war. And he asked God to deliver him from the trauma and the anguish that crushed him. And it was here that he experienced the joy, love, and grace of God. He was baptized and eventually became an evangelist and a pastor. And against all odds, Daniel is now a leader of his denomination in Congo, a university professor who teaches other people about how to be inclusive for people with disability. He was awarded a scholarship to pursue a PhD. And in all this, Daniel is an incredibly humble servant of God. If you spoke to him, he would tell you that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that he can be where he is and do what he does today. He would say, as it is written in Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Wow, yeah, I know. It's only by the Holy Spirit's empowerment that he can rise above his circumstances and live loud for God. You know, some of us have the soundtrack playing over and over and over in our heads about why we can't do this or why we can't do that. We replay our past, our trauma, you know, why, oh, my divorce, my parents abandoned me, or, you know, my father did this and this, my failures, my mistakes. And we let these things speak louder than God in our lives. But I've been so inspired by Daniel not to let my past and my circumstances or how I'm a victim of this or of that define my future. Through the work of the Spirit, we have been called into a new life and purpose. And I think of Paul the Apostle. and so many other people in the Bible where God gives them a new name and purpose when they come to faith. You know, because when we encounter Jesus, when we encounter the love of Father and the power of the Spirit, we are changed. We are given a new identity. We are given a new life, a new purpose, because he makes all things new. You know, Saul was once known as Saul, a persecutor of God's church, but now he's Paul, the missionary, a church planter, a writer of half the New Testament. The thing is, he never lost his name as Saul. He was also known as Paul. Like John was also known as Mark, and Simon was also known as Peter. God didn't take away my friend Daniel's disability in order to give him a new purpose and identity. He uses Daniel because of his disability. As a professor at a university, to teach others about inclusivity with people with disabilities, and so many more ways that he uses Daniel's story. How has God redeemed you and your past so that you can use your life experience to represent him? How can the Spirit's work in your life be shared as an encouragement to others and call them into faith? Let me tell you a few more stories. You see this, ladies? So the one on the far left is Yara, and she is from Papua New Guinea. She is a total boss. Like, I'm telling you, she leads a team of, like, 20 men in Bible translation, and she carries a machete around when she travels because, like, she gets held up on the roads. Like, that's how badass she is. The one in the middle is Pearl. She's a filmmaker from India. Yes, she sometimes makes Christian films, but she's also an expert in her field. She is a global trainer, teaching others how to make film globally, and is a catalyst in her industry. Her daughter is the most outgoing little evangelist, and led so many people in her primary school friends to Christ. And Pearl was telling me how her daughter made her call up a school mum, because, like, out of the blue, she didn't even know the school mum, and she's like, call my friend's mum now, like, because she actually was like, you know, my friend's not coming to faith because of her mum. Like, you need to work on her mum. And so she did, and she called the mum, and she responded, and she's like, what do I do now? and the girl is just, like, just living out this, you know, evangelist life because of the way that she's seeing her mother live out her faith as well. This girl on the left is Grateful from Nigeria. She's only 4 months younger than me, but she holds so many more degrees and qualifications. She's a lawyer, and she started her own NGO with a vision to equip the poor in Nigeria with skills to farm their own food and to start small businesses so they can make their own living. The girl on the right is Jayanthi. She's also from India, and she's a pharmaceutical professional. When I asked her what that means and what she does, she was like, you know, like, EpiPen? And I'm like, yeah, I know EpiPen. And she was like, yeah, well, I helped work on that. And I'm like, that's insane. Like, that thing literally saves my husband's life. Yes, he's anaphylactic. This here is Alexei. He's Russian, but he lives in Mexico because he stood up to the government and spoke up against the war with Ukraine. And he had to flee the country with his young family. This is Michaela. She was my roommate. She's a 24-year-old primary school teacher from Barbados. I didn't even know where Barbados was until I met her. I had to Google it. It's in the Caribbean. It's very beautiful. I also met a guy who invented this little device that played the Bible in thousands of different translations. I met doctors who were passionate about bringing accessible and quality healthcare to every nation in the world. I met retirees who had served God faithfully for many, many years and are now mentoring the younger generation in their fields and ministry. I met a stay-at-home mum who is a prayer warrior, an intercessor, but she was also involved in a missional business where they gathered hundreds of local farmers in Africa to grow coffee and then ship them to America for roasting and selling. I met IT professionals, missional business owners, and an engineer who became the CEO of a big company. You know, people would be coming to his house for Bible studies and marriage counseling, and before you know it, he and his wife had a microchurch meeting in the house because of people he was able to impact. I met this guy, Attila, from Hungary, who actually works for Lausanne. Over the last few months, he's been creating short videos on TikTok in Hungarian. He would call himself an unlikely TikToker, But he's got 14.8 thousand followers on TikTok. I started following him, and then I realized very quickly that I do not speak or understand Hungarian. Some of his videos are short messages based on the YouVersion's app of the day. Some speak to cultural events from a biblical worldview. And some are purely apologetic or evangelistic in nature. He said that he's honestly had more meaningful conversations with random people on TikTok over the last few months than in 8 years of pastoring a church. He experimented with going live on TikTok to do spontaneous Bible studies and have a bit of a Q&A time. And in one of the sessions, he was prompted to lead people in a prayer to give their lives to Christ. 24 people responded and made decisions to follow Jesus that day. And next month, like in July, he'll actually be baptizing people who signed up via TikTok. Like, that's incredible. So incredible. So why am I telling you all these stories? Because as I mentioned when I was talking to Pastor Chi before, that the future and the growth of the church, of the kingdom, does not fall on the shoulders of pastors and of church leaders, but on you guys. Everyday people doing what they do best, using gifts and skills and resources that God has given and equipped you with to represent Jesus to people that you interact with in your everyday spaces. Not only to share the gospel verbally, but empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring beauty, creativity, healing, restoration, wholeness, reconciliation, flourishing to creation and peoples of every tribe, nation, and tongue. That means doing what God has called you to do really, really well. It means exercising the giftings, skills, talents, abilities that He's given you for the growth of His kingdom and the good of His creation and people and world. It means living lives that reflect the Holy Spirit's work in your life to make you more and more like His Son, through turning away from sin, from daily choosing to do life His way instead of your own way. It means embodying the fruit of the Spirit with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A few years ago, I remember preaching a sermon on what biblical faithfulness looks like. And it's not just staying true and being a really trusty, reliable person, but rather stewarding and expanding and growing what God has entrusted us so that we can multiply things for the sake of His kingdom. I'm talking about the parable of the talents, or in modern translations, the parable of the three servants in Matthew 25. You can go back and read it in your own time. But don't bury what God has given you. He's expecting that you would take that and steward what He's given you to invest, to grow, to multiply it for His purposes and mission. Use the gifts He's given you. Exercise those talents and abilities. Work at it. Perfect your craft so that you can be really, really good at what you do by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's already equipped and empowered you, and He's here to help you, guide you, and lead you in all of that. And that's why we go on and on about making whole of life disciples at this church. Just think about how much time you spend at church each week and how much more time you spend at work, in your schools, in your neighbourhoods, sports, universities, hobbies, with your families, any kids' sporting events, and extracurricular activities. How can you use these giftings that the Spirit has empowered you with to serve these fields, communities, your industries and spaces? How can you be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting, what He is doing around you, and then join Him in that, in drawing people to Himself? How can the older generation mentor and encourage and walk alongside the younger ones to multiply the capacity? How can families welcome the orphans and widows of our day to create welcoming homes and spaces for people to meet and experience Jesus outside of a church context? And even though I met so many people from around the world through Lausanne, one of the things that still weighs really heavy on my heart is that in these global church Christian spaces, we still have a lack of representation from some of the least reached areas of the world. That's actually why we've been brought together, so that we can connect and share ideas and accelerate global mission together. You know, out of the 100 people I met, there was only one Japanese pastor, one student worker from Indonesia, two families from China pastoring underground church and then also working in theological education. One guy from Taiwan, one guy from Kyrgyzstan. Besides that, I couldn't tell you that I met anyone else from Southeast Asia or the Middle East. It's not that there aren't any Christians in those areas, but there aren't very many at all. Just this week, I was reading and praying through one of my ex-colleagues' newsletters, prayer letters, and he and his family are based somewhere in Southeast Asia. And in order to get into this place, he couldn't just go as a traditional Christian worker, of course, and he is there on a business visa where his company has sent him there to do business. When we're talking about missional business, we're not talking about just like a shell, you know, where it's like a platform where the front is like a business, but then in the back we're doing Christian things. Like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about legitimate businesses that are making profit and bringing value to the community. Anyway, so he was saying that he was spontaneously, he went out to lunch with a local believer one day, and it turned out to be a very eye-opening experience for him, as this young man shared his role in his family's business and asked many questions around faith and work. In his words, he said, "I knew how to be a Christian university student, but I don't know how my faith relates to my life in the workplace." The following week, he was asked to meet another man who was just about to finish up his studies at a university. It took for hours and hours, and my friend was able to answer his questions around what it's like to be someone in the marketplace and what opportunities and challenges this may bring. He was honest about his journey and also the many unanswered questions that he personally had as well. In the end, the local believer said, "I never thought I would meet a believer in the tech industry serving cross-culturally." You know, in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus says to his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age." And in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." There is still so much need in this world. Millions of people in unreached areas of the world are still waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Believers in these same areas are looking for living examples of how to live out their faith in these contexts. More than ever, we are looking for believers who are able to be Jesus in the flesh, in the everyday lives and industry, so that people can encounter the love of Christ. Jesus promises that through his Spirit, he will be with you always. He's given you power through the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses, telling people everywhere about him. In our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our cities, in our countries, and even crossing cultures to the ends of the earth. You know, over the last few weeks, many of you have experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Many of you have testimonies of how he's encouraged you, convicted you, spoken to you, and met with you. Don't bury that and do nothing with that. Who is he calling you to be, and what is he prompting you to do? The Holy Spirit's initial work in our lives is very much to reveal more of God to us, to clear the junk in our lives and to refine us to be more like Christ. And that will be an ongoing, lifelong work of the Spirit as we walk with him in a posture of surrender. But we're not supposed to keep that to ourselves. The bigger purpose of the Spirit is so that we can be empowered to be his witnesses and represent him to the world. Each of you are uniquely created, uniquely gifted, and uniquely called for his purposes. Just because our Holy Spirit sermon series is coming to an end today, it doesn't mean that his work in ministry in our lives has stopped. Over the next few months, we're going to be talking about living out our faith in today's challenging society and culture. We're going to be talking about finances and how we're called to handle money as Christians. In yet another few months, we're going to be talking about work in faith. Continue to press in, be alert, be sensitive to what the Spirit is speaking to you about and guiding you in and leading you in. What is he highlighting to you? Who is he wanting you to represent him to? Where might he be calling you? What is your next step of obedience? If I can just get the worship team to get ready. Don't lean on your own strength and logic, but seek where God is working and moving and join him in it. Be sensitive to the prompting of his spirit. Stay alert and align our hearts and our lives with God's purposes and mission. I can't tell you what unique call God has on your life, and I'm not going to list the possibilities and limit what the Spirit can do and say to you. But each of you, every single believer, has the Holy Spirit living inside you. And he has empowered you with everything you need to represent him to the world. So go, even to the ends of the earth, to live out your unique calling to the best of your ability, empowered by his Holy Spirit, so that you can be effective witnesses for his glory. Church, I want to pray for you. I want to commission you to do just that. Would you stand? Would you stand? This time that we have, just put your hands out and receive. God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for every single one of these people here in this room and in your church, God, who you have called, who you have equipped, who you have anointed, Lord, for your work. God, as they step into their spaces, as they step into their workplaces, as they step into homes and neighborhoods, God, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would empower them. God, that you would be the one who works in and through them. But for those who are feeling like they're lost, they don't know where to go, God, would you guide them? Would you lead them? And Father, I pray, God, over this church, over every individual here, God, that they would see their purpose and find their space, find their place in your mission to the world today. God, I pray that every person that they encounter in their workplaces, God, in their everyday, in their even when they go supermarket shopping, God, would you open their eyes to see what you are doing in and through them, God. Give them conversations, give them promptings, Lord. Lead them, Lord. Father, we know that you are a powerful, powerful God, and it's not because of who we are, but because of who you are in us, Lord. And Father, I pray that as these people go out into their world, Lord, that you would be the one before them. God, gift them, Lord. You have given them so much, Lord. Father, would you, I just want to call this out in their lives, God, that they would step in, Lord, that they would know what you have called them to do, that they would know what giftings you have given them, Lord, that they would be able to perfect their craft, God, be able to represent you so much more in your spirit, God, than they can do in their own strength, God. Father, I pray that these people, Lord, would be representatives of you to their everyone, everywhere, with their everything, by your power, by your grace. And so, Lord, we just want to commission them. We want to send them, Lord, with your spirit. We pray, God, that you would multiply their reach, that you would multiply and expand the capacity for more of you, for more of what you are calling them to do, God. That they would be leaders in the industry, the leaders in their fields, God, in their spaces and in their circles of influence, God. That you would be their God.